starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
A recent webinar convened by the United Israel Appeal looked at the experiences of Jewish people living in Ukraine since the outbreak of war in February 2022. Titled The Briefing Room, The Jewish Story of the War in Ukraine, the event explored the geopolitical, humanitarian, as well as the communal impact of war, particularly for Jews who live in the region. Moderator Alon Kosuto, CEO of the ZFA, set the stage describing the conflict with far-reaching implications on a global and humanitarian scale.
And for Jewish communities, it's touched something even deeper because we've seen Jewish Ukrainians fighting to defend their homeland, extraordinary humanitarian mobilization. And really, we've seen Israel play a role in this conflict. We've seen Jewish communities around the world play a role in this conflict. And at the same time, the war has changed geopolitical alliances, changed economic systems and the balance of power in Europe. Our aim tonight is to understand some of the forces that are shaping this war and the Jewish experience of this war.
Natalie Schneiderman, who is one of the panel members and joined from Israel, is the Director of Strategies and Partnerships, Aliyah and Integration at the Jewish Agency for Israel. Natalie has been introduced as a key figure in leading the humanitarian efforts, connecting the Jewish world and communities in crisis in Ukraine and Russia. She's provided numbers that put the population displacement into context.
So we estimate that of 200,000 Jews of Ukraine before the war, about 50,000 left, 20,000 to Israel, made Aliyah, and 30,000 just spread through Europe, North America, and as you know better than me, to Australia for relocation, and were very well hosted by the local communities. Many still are traveling. It's a very dynamic community who travels back and forth, especially those who stayed in Europe and Eastern Europe.
Ms. Schneiderman further illustrated the daily life for those who remained, describing a life of resilience in the backdrop of shelling and hardship.
Synagogues and community centers operate in many cases as shelters. They deliver food, medicine, not just in the first year of the war, when the winter is coming and more communities need generators. Many of them still, Ukraine still experiences a lot of electricity. And many of our communities' offices, Jewish agency offices, work on generators. With all their challenges and casualties and people with limited, of course, mobility, we still keep going with the community overnight programs. We keep in mostly hold in the Western Ukraine, which is relatively safer until the last shelling. We try to keep the life on with the camps, with their Hebrew classes, with their seminars, with their Jewish events and holidays, Independence Day celebrations, and even we invite, missions.
Ms. Schneiderman says much effort was deployed to keep a sense of normalcy. She credits this to the swift global Jewish humanitarian mobilization.
The Jewish agency activated full emergency mode that morning, leveraging pre-existing infrastructure. And I think this is the most important point, that if we wouldn't have this infrastructure and coordination with all other Jewish organizations and our relationship with UIA and other Jewish philanthropic world, I think we wouldn't able even to deliver this help immediately at that day. So evacuation corridors, temporary shelters, bus convoys were established within really first days. We organized 450 buses, 218 flight chapters from all the borders, and opened more than 20 transit centers. The first days were is about evacuation, help people come close, escape to their border. I personally coordinated a WhatsApp evacuation WhatsApp groups, connecting families in the shelters with the bus drivers or just drivers of private cars with all the Jewish organizations. We had a coordination table, bringing them to the border and spreading them, settling them to the shelters. Something that we cannot forget. And again, thanks for the partnership.
Gary Perlstein, also a panelist in the webinar, is UIA's New South Wales president. He's a Jewish community leader and global business founder. Mr. Perlstein recalls how the UIA mobilized considerable resources at the onset of the Ukraine war.
As the war broke out, and we raised $23 million from 40 countries and 62 campaigns, which was a very large amount of money. It was there to facilitate the rescue flights, the buses and the logistics, transit facilities at the borders in Poland, Romania, Hungary, Moldova. Hotels were transformed in Poland into safe havens. So there was a lot of work that required funds that needed financial assistance to individuals. Of the 75,000 immigrants that came to Israel in 2022, 44,000 were from Russia, 15,000 from Ukraine. And literally they had a small suitcase, little handbag. They left so quickly, mainly women, young children, elderly women, men obviously had to stay in the army. And each and every one of these individuals is a person with a whole world around them, for those who we were responsible for, not to see them as just another number, but rather as individuals.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter Schmeigel is a writer, social advocate, and author who's published numerous articles on the subject of Ukraine. He's also published a book titled The Drone, Exploring the Human Cost of War. He describes how Ukrainians shifted the balance of power on the battlefield, turning what was expected to be a quick Russian victory into a war of attrition with a major shift in military tactics bearing global, economic, and strategic implications.
This war has become the world's first drone war. Ukraine is manufacturing 4.5 million drones in the following year. It's the world's largest manufacturer of drones. Why is it doing that? Because it understands, as its opponents understands, that wars are not decided by square hundreds of meters on the ground nowadays. They're decided, as all great conflicts are, by energy. Who has access to it? Who loses it? Et cetera, et cetera.
Beyond the tech display, Peter Schmeigel also tells the story of the strong Jewish spirit.
I take you to Dr. Maya Mendel. Dr. Mendel is a pediatric clinician in Kherson. Her city was occupied for about 6 months at the beginning of the war. Dr. Mendel is a woman of Jewish background. Her daughter was, in fact, the spokesman to President Zelensky at one point, and we know the president's background, of course. Dr. Mendel was on her ward in her clinic when they received several visits from the Russian Secret Services, from the FSB. And why those secret services were there was they were essentially scoping out how many different wards of the state were in the clinic, how many kids who were involved somehow with social services were in the clinic. Why? Because it's those kids that the Russians physically kidnap and take out of Ukraine for what they openly call re-education. Dr. Mendel witnessed these officers poking around her ward, and she literally physically put herself between Russian Secret Service officers, ex-KGB men, and those children. She saved an entire ward's worth of kids from being kidnapped into Russia. How do you explain this? You know, A, her home is Ukraine, and she defends it. B, I would suggest that part of that tradition of bravery comes from her Jewish soul, that incredible toughness against the odds.
Mr. Schmeigel sees this act as a fusion of Ukrainian defiance as well as Jewish courage, and it speaks to a complicated, painful, but evolving Jewish history between Jews and Ukraine.
Whether it was Shoah and collaboration during Shoah or going back to the 18th century, and the pogroms that were committed, etc., during that time, as you say, that led to some of the beginnings of the Zionist movement itself. These communities lived side by side for hundreds of years in relative cooperation and peace, as much as there were instances of very hateful, deplorable violence by Ukrainians against Jews. Does anti-Semitism still exist in Ukraine? Yes, it does. It exists in Ukraine as it does in Australia. Has there been progress? I'd suggest that over the last 30 years, the progress has been completely significant. And sometimes we throw this out as a way of arguing against people who cast allegations of current anti-Semitism, but there is simply no denying the fact that President Volodymyr Zelensky is a man of Jewish background. There's simply no denying that a society could elect someone of Jewish background. It says a lot about how much healing has actually taken place.
Natalie Schneiderman also reflects on the evolution of how Israeli society views and integrates new arrivals from Ukraine.
So this shared destiny, this shared effort, this shared rehabilitation and revival effort, I think really united, enormously united new immigrants and Israelis. These days, I think new immigrants become Israelis much quicker. They just have to be part of their community, and they began volunteer very quickly. Something that in our, years, 90s or 2000s, we're very much separated from suffering from Israelis. The programs were very isolated. These days, we try to integrate, to tailor personally according to the interests and the skills that Olim can come to Israel.
Looking ahead, the future's uncertain, but Schneiderman believes there will soon be a breakthrough in the ongoing negotiations resulting in a peace agreement. Not a perfect agreement necessarily, but one that will bring some normalcy.
I believe that it would be some kind of agreement, probably not the best for both sides. Probably both sides will not be, none of them probably, most likely will be happy, but it will be some agreement. Not sure it will be very quickly. We are anticipating some involvement and some development. We want to be ready this time. If agreements is signed next few months, there is a chance. We want to be ready for a big wave of, and the borders are open, big wave of Aliyah from Ukraine. Those who couldn't leave, and we maintain the activities, maintain programs for them, and we have registration lists for those who want to leave. Some will go back from Europe and other countries to Ukraine on the one hand. And on the other hand, we anticipate a revival of Jewish life. Mm-hmm. You know, we there will be always Jewish community in Ukraine, and I think it's something that we need to support as much as possible. Will look different, maybe it will shrink. It won't be easy, it won't be perfect, that's for sure. But I think that the resilience that this community, and not just Jewish, but Ukrainian community showed, I think this is the achievement. Not the numbers, not the facts, who stayed where, the new communities, and the resilience is there. Nobody will take resilience from Ukrainians.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.